Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
I want to first share with you that a brother asked me to read something. And I agreed to it, and I want to read it and share it with you. You know, in life, there are cycles in life. There are times when things are just going absolutely wonderful, and there's times when things get downright tough. And it's these cycles of life that we all go through. And I'm actually going to talk about that. I'll put something on the board a little bit later. But I want to read a little bit about what this gentleman and his thoughts are with men that are behind the pulpit and with the ministry. And I just really appreciate this gentleman. I've known him for many years, have a great deal of respect for him. And he truly comes from his heart. Here it is. It's up to us to take care of the men who take on the responsibility of serving in the ministry. They are most certainly worthy of double honor. They are the engines that drive the word forward and carry us. These engines need to be highest quality fuel and maintenance to perform at their best. We owe it to them to see that more than their financial needs are met. They truly are the point of the spear. And unless we pay close attention, are subject to wear and tear we can't imagine. So support your pastors and laborers in the Lord. With encouragement and thanks, be on guard for their needs, because most times it is not in them to ask for help. They choose to give, not to receive. And here is a wonderful poem rhythmically put together, and I just really enjoyed what he says. Men of grace, men of iron, men of grace, a race, a rare and blessed breed. They lead us to salvation, a precious thing indeed. Christ gave himself to save them. Their will is but to serve. When buffeted by Satan, some men may lose their nerve. We are their encouragement and shield in times of strife, our hearts and prayers to nourish them, so good men serve for life. Be in prayer for godly men, for they are human too, formed of dust and breath of God, the same as me and you. I want to thank the brother for sharing this with me, and I can tell you that with the ministry, we know firsthand with our local assembly that things happen. Can I tell you, never put your faith in fleshly man. Put your faith in the message. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Because people will disappoint you. And that's one of the things I've learned. It's been about 20 years that I've been involved in the grace message. I grew up in a religious system. Russ talked about a book that was on the back with Brother Oscar Woodall. I had an opportunity about 20 so years ago. Brother Larry Sanborn, he and I were doing some business together, and he invited me to a Bible study. And when he invited me to this Bible study, I had no clue what I was getting into. But I learned about this dispensation of grace. And then I had some issues where I had to go up to Chicago 2 weeks later, and I met Brother Richard Jordan for the first time. And you know, it was just really interesting how things happen. And you know, some of us in life, we go through stuff. Anybody going through stuff? Yeah, okay, some of you are. You know, some of you are, I mean, this is the best time for you right now. Things are going absolutely fabulous. Others of you, it's not going so good. Hang in there. Hang in there, because it's worth the wait. Because we've got a powerful message. We are serving the Lord in everything we do. And what we want to do, it's kind of like Paul, you know, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what I pray for. I pray for all of you. I pray for the saints. Because Paul talks about in the latter times, some shall what? Depart from the faith. Some shall depart. And that's a sad thing. It breaks my heart. And, you know, it's part of this ministry. You know, the chosen are those with faith, that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go through some verses. My topic of discussion is God's will in the gospel. And it's important to know what God's will is. And it's very clear, it's very concise, it's not complicated. The thing I love about it is when you really understand God's word rightly divided, everything makes sense. You know, God's not the author of confusion. But when I went through a religious system growing up as a kid, I was confused. I remember asking my parents questions. They're like, Ronnie, we don't know. You know, and, you know, but they said this and they said that. And then why do we have to do this? And it's like, you know, I don't know. And then I remember my mother, you know, when I was a kid, I was asking, well, why don't we ever read the Bible? And she goes, Ronnie, it's not for us to read. It's for a priest to interpret and tell us what it means. So it's like, all right. And you know what they did? My mother and father, they were kind enough to buy me a new King James Version. Back when I was a kid. The only problem was I had dyslexia and it was ADD, so as far as reading it, I got in there a little bit, but I had a rough time. It was until somebody actually loved me enough to really share the gospel message. And to be honest with you, I don't know the exact day when I got saved. I don't know. It could have been when I was in that religious system, because I remember thinking, well, if Christ died for our sins, he paid for all of our sins, why do I have to keep going into, you know, this little closet with somebody on the other side and start telling them all this stuff? If I'm forgiven all of them, why do I have to? You know, so I don't know. Maybe there was something crazy, but I just thank God for even some of those trying times in my life. And when we go through those trying times, those tribulations, it works patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn a little bit about God's will. And let's go over to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, and for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And here it is. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. How do you like that? Is that pretty clear? What is God's will in the dispensation of grace? God's will is to have all of mankind be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. That's it. It's like, wow, that's easy. Will all of man be saved? No or no? No. Why? Why will not all of mankind be saved? Tell me. They're not spoken to? Well, that could be. I think people really do hear the gospel message. I want to talk about that. You know what I think? I just really think, with regards to, you know, just scripture and understanding, personally, I think with life, we go through. Can I get away from the mic here? Can you all hear me? Is it the quality a little bit worse? It's gone. Okay. Well, what happens is when we go through life, let me just draw this. We kind of go through life, and maybe it's rocky, it's up and down, right? But we're going through our life. Do you know there are doors of opportunities when we hear that gospel message? When, you know what, somebody, when we were kids, somebody said something. You know what? I didn't believe that then. I heard something on television, or I went and watched a movie. Believe it or not, a movie, and they talked about or said something with Christ dying for their sins. But I didn't believe that. You know what? I go to my job. I go to my work. Somebody talked to me about the scripture. I didn't believe that. I was flipping channels on television, and I came across a Christian channel, and I saw Brother Ricky Jordan on there, or, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, you know what? It made sense. I trusted. Now, if you go through life, and there are millions and billions of people that go through life, what they do is they keep rejecting it every single time. You know what's going to happen at the end of their life? They are going to spend eternity where? In hell and the lake of fire. And I was talking to kids. We were teaching the kids, 9 to 12-year-olds, earlier this morning. And they were asking, well, what's going to happen, you know, for people that go to hell? Are they just going to disintegrate like ashes? I go, no. They're going to get a body like a worm, where the worm dieth not. And that worm-like body is going to be tormented in hell in the lake of fire throughout all of eternity. Hell is real. Do you hear me? Hell is real. I believe people, when they die, that don't trust and rely exclusively that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins, if they think it's some work system, some religious system, some I've got to do this, I've got to do this, God, look what I can do for you, they're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And what I think is going to happen, the regret of missing all of these opportunities. I didn't have to be here. Whose responsibility is it as ambassadors for Christ to get that message out? Whose responsibility, saints? Who is it? All of us. I never found in Scripture where it said to be a Secret Service agent. I never found it. It's not, I can't find it. Did a search on it, can't find anywhere. Don't say anything to anybody. No. You preach that word. You're bold. The consequences. Are people going to say something negative about you? Could that happen? Yes. Can family members think you're absolutely insane and nuts? Yes. But you don't let that stop you. You grow from that. You grow from that. Let's take a look at another verse. Oh, by the way, with salvation, let's be clear on salvation. It's real simple. We're all sinners, every single one of us. And if you don't know the verses, let me give you a couple verses just take a peek at. Take a look over at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 23. For all, how many? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at Romans 6, 23. What is the wage of this sin? What is the wage of sin? Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Death, hell, the lake of fire. Now here's something interesting. You know, I was talking to the kids about this as well. You know, I said, how many of you have sinned? And they all raised their hand, every one of them. And I go, and I recounted something that happened to me when I was a kid. I remember as a kid stealing some gum when I was a kid at a store. It was a 7-Eleven or a White Hen or something like that. And I remember stealing, and I got caught. Do you know what instinctively I did when I got caught? I lied. No, I didn't. I mean, I was just a little kid, maybe 12 years old or a little younger. And I it was like, and then afterwards, I felt so bad. And you know, nobody taught me how to sin. Did anybody teach you? Did you have to go through a rule book? Do you know, we just do it instinctively. Why? We're born from Adam. We're akin to Adam. That old sin-cursed nature, that's who we are. That's who we are. We're born that way. Have a new granddaughter. Just born on December 28th. As a matter of fact, there's a party. Our whole family's together right now at a party, and that's why they're not here. And I was like, you know what? Go to that party. I can have you listen to the message. But the thing is, I had family come in from out of town. They wanted to see the baby and all. First day, I held my granddaughter in my hands. I said, Kaylee, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. I want to start young. I want that door to be right here the first day. You know why? And my grandson, 2.5 years old, Logan, I share that gospel message with him. My wife babysits the kids because both my daughter and her husband, they have to work during the day. So we're just absolutely blessed to have them in our lives and be able to have them grow up in the Word of God. I didn't have that opportunity. I grew up in a religious system, lost as a skunk, confused, had no clue. But you know what? Praise the Lord. You know what I praise the Lord for? Another day of grace. God's extending another day of grace for mankind to be what? saved, and come unto the knowledge of truth. What's that knowledge of truth? 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15, burn this into your memory. Memorize this verse. Understand a distinction of it. It is extremely critical, important. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Now, here's something that I had to learn about 20 years ago. I still have the issue with dyslexia and ADD. And to read for me was extraordinarily difficult. What I did is I got the audios of the Bible and listened to them while I was reading, and it helped me so much. And my reading has just gotten so much better through the years reading Scripture. But there's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse. Study to show thyself approved unto who? Your pastor? Your spouse? God. Yes. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. It takes work to study. It takes work to study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing something. What are we to do? Rightly divide the word of truth. Not wrongly divide it, rightly divide it. Well, how can we rightly divide? What is that right division all about? Brother Ricky, he talked about it last night. It was so obvious, so clear. Take a look over at Galatians. In Galatians, chapter 2, verse 7. Galatians 2, 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. There are two gospels represented here. Most people believe there's only one gospel. Matter of fact, those are the people that are trying to bring in the kingdom. And they're, you know what happens? They're mixing law and grace. This chart here, this dispensation of grace. I recommend every single one of you get your hands on a chart. And you can get it online as well. And if you go to our website, richesofgrace.com, you can go there and look at a link for the chart. But actually read every verse on the chart. Read every single verse on the chart. You're going to learn something. You're going to know where the verses are. You're going to learn where the nation Israel fell in Romans chapter 11. You're going to learn about the Apostle Paul being the apostle today in the dispensation of grace. I'll ask people sometime, I go, do you know who your apostle is? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he's our Savior. Do you know who our apostle is? Oh, Peter? Peter's dealing with this nation Israel. Paul talks about in Romans 11, 13, he's the apostle. He magnifies his office. He's not tooting his own horn, magnifying himself. He's magnifying his office. That was a position given to him by the will of God. We're going to read that shortly. He's the one we're to follow. And we're actually following the Lord Jesus Christ when we follow Paul. Paul, literally by revelations from the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul received the mystery program. The book of Revelation, is that singular or plural? Singular. John got one. He wrote the book of Revelation. Paul received revelations from the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Not the earthly Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He came down and saved the chief of sinners who was literally going out killing people that believed Christ was the Messiah. And Paul got saved on that Damascus road. He was transformed. How did he get transformed? By the renewing of the mind. Let's take a look over Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, what's that next word? Transformed. You be transformed. How do you be transformed? By the renewing of your what? This mind. And the mind is more than just the brain. I believe that mind is dealing with your conscious thought process. It's also dealing with your heart. You know, if there's an autopsy, somebody passes away, And they have to cut up that body that is now dead. Can any doctor tell me, can anyone tell me, when you're looking at that body, exactly where the mind is? They can tell me where the brain is. They can tell me where the heart is. Where is that mind? We're transformed by that renewing of that mind. That mind is that intake, getting that knowledge, that information in us, in our consciousness, and let it take over our whole being. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why do we want to be transformed by the renewing of mind? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who are you proving it to? Do you know who you're proving it to? Yourself. Wow, this stuff really works. For I see through the grace given to me, that every man is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to be sober, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't be puffed up knowing this knowledge. Charity is the key. Charity is the key. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And by the way, during that Corinthian time, they had gifts because they didn't have the complete word of God yet. So there were gifts, there were prophecies, there were prophets and so on that were helping with putting this whole message together through the Apostle Paul. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, when my wife and I moved here from up north down to Florida, we've been down here now about 20 years. When we would go on trips and things, we had one of our neighbor's mother watch our kids, Grandma Marie. Grandma Marie invited us to her church. And it was a charismatic type church. I didn't know any better. I would just know. So we went there. And we went to that church. And I got to tell you something. I personally was tossed to and fro by everyone to doctrine. I mean, I was like a boat going back and forth. And God's not that author of confusion. And it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense. But when I learned about the grace message, I met Oscar Woodall, that little book on the back corner there. Buy that book, get that book, read that book, because you're going to learn how important it is to give out that message of grace. Because Brother Woody, he was an evangelist. And whether you're a mom going to the grocery store, just even getting a track out, do you know what that book's going to do? It's going to encourage you to go out there and do the work of the ministry. I asked the pastor of that charismatic church when I started learning about the grace message. I met Woody at that Bible study. I went up and met Ricky Jordan. And then I came back home, and I was like, I talked to the pastor, and I asked him about this. In verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And I asked him, I go, what do you think that is? He goes, oh, Ron, that's simple. That's the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. You know, through study, do you know what I learned about that passage? Do you know what the perfectness is? The Word of God. This is the perfectness. I happen to use a King James Version. Why? Because all the verses are in here. Romans 16, 24, missing out of other Bibles. Matthew 18, 11, not even there. And what's funny with those other Bibles, they don't know how to count. Because after 24 comes number, what, 25? So why aren't their numbers different than my King James Version? They're not. They're sneaky, those people that do that. They put a little footnote on the bottom and they put number 24 there. Or Matthew 18, 11. No, after Matthew 18, 11, after 11 comes what? 12. Before 11 comes 10. So their numbering system, since they took that verse out, should be different than my KJV, but it's not. Most people are confused. They don't get that. Know what the will of God is. You've got the perfect will of God. If you have, and I'm not going to tell you what Bible to use. Use whatever Bible you want. That's between you and God. Me, I use the King James Version. I got over the these and nows a long time ago. Didn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, there was this guy, Alexander Scorby. got a great voice, and that's the audio version that I got. And boy, when I really got into that, you know, some people think I'm nuts, but I mean, I carry my iPod with me. Driving here, I was listening to Romans through Philemon. I go out and cut the grass. I got my iPod on. I go riding over at, we've got a place called Flatwoods where we live. It's a little 7-mile loop, and we can do off-road biking. You know, people see me with my iPod on, they're thinking I'm jamming the music or anything. No, I'm rocking to Paul's My Gospel, the Dispensation of Grace. And then, you know, I'll go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matter of fact, drove up to Tennessee. We had a family event up in Tennessee. It was over 9 hours. It took me 9 hours to listen to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all the way through without stopping. And I was like, get that in, get that in, get that in, over and over and over. Renew the mind. God says, study to be quiet. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I think that study, that renewing, should be kind of a daily thing. Because if we put it off, we put off studying, you know what happens? Sin revives. And I find the more you're in the book, the less we sin. The less we're in the book, the more we sin. Isn't that interesting how that works? So know who we are. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Let's go through a couple of other verses with the will of God. 8:26, Romans 8:26. I know I got off all of my topic. I'm not even following any of it, but did we go over 8:26 yet? All right, I didn't think so. I actually have only given you the first verse of what I wrote. And what do we have to be done? We got another hour. It was a 2-hour message, right? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Spirit, isn't that nice? Our prayer life. God says, pray without ceasing. Pray for others. In our prayer life, sometimes, does it take a back seat? Just sometimes. Maybe we're too involved in whatever in our life. And that, you know what? God, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us. I like that. Now, sometimes we've gone through some tribulation time, and I didn't even know what to pray or how to pray because it was so devastating. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit is praying on my behalf. Because right now, Lord, I'm dumbfounded. And that happens in life. And I thank God for that. Do you know who indwells you? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I think about when I'm praying to God in the third heaven, I'm praying to God here as well. God's in us. And that Trinity, some people say, oh, you're worshiping three gods. Listen, the Trinity is not that difficult to understand. Let's take a look over here at Thessalonians real quick. Go to the right a little bit, about maybe a 16th of an inch or so. We don't even use inches anymore hardly here in the U.S. It seems like everything's changing. I don't know what it is in centimeters. The Trinity. You're a Trinity. Huh? Yeah, you're a Trinity. Take a look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've got a spirit, soul, and body. Notice it didn't say body, soul, and spirit. That's what the secular world usually says. Isn't that something? The secular world does the exact opposite. The secular world, who you and I, we were all a part of, do you know who was our God? The little g. You know, a lot of people, they'll say, oh, I believe in God. There's a big difference then in believing in God and believe God. There's a huge difference. A lot of people, oh, I believe in God. I don't need to hear this gospel message. I believe in God. Huh. You know what the key is? Believe God. You know what that is? Faith. Do you believe God? I believe God. That's what God's looking for. God's looking for this. Faith. That's it. We learn about faith. Take a look over at Romans chapter number 4. Romans 4, verse number 3. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned a grace but a debt. Let me tell you something. Trying to do good works to go to heaven, you're going to fall short. You're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Do you know what faith is? Believing God. That's it. Faith is believing God. That's simple. A couple of other verses real quick here with the will of God. Well, I already went through, actually, let's go through this right now. I might have said it, but I want to go through it. Romans 12, turn to the right a couple of pages. Romans 12, verse 1. I did talk about this, and I mentioned this with the kids as well. And they knew about Transformers, you know, this movie Transformers that changes into a car and then a person and that kind of thing. You know, we're Transformers. We're transformed. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I know we said it, but this is important. As a matter of fact, this whole passage of Scripture, Romans 12, is important. When you get into some challenges in your life, can I give you a couple of life verses you might want to write down and keep for yourself? When you go through challenges in your life and you need to get into the Scripture, read God's Word rightly divided. Get into Paul's epistles. He'll give you the answers. But a couple of verses, somebody helped me years ago because I went through some tribulations, some really tough stuff. And what helped me was going through Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Write that down. We're not going to read them. But write these down. These might help you in time of need. And with this economy right now, these verses may help somebody you know. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Romans chapter number 12, the whole chapter. Some of it doesn't apply, but you're going to get the gist of what does apply in your life today. Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, and 1 Thessalonians 5. Those life verses, when I was going through my stuff, and I still have stuff, you know what I do? I read those over and over and over. Because there are answers in there that God's will wants me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind to let His Word work through me. And you know what it did? It helped me. It helped me because I'm still here. And I'll tell you something. Paul talks about in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And from what I've seen just the past few years, I'm starting to think the latter times might be here no sooner than, you know, it's happening. I'm seeing good men behind the pulpit gone. There was one verse a brother had, you know, with regards to the Scripture. And let me take a look here. There is a verse in Scripture with regards to, I know what it is. Not that I have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, in Corinthians. That brother kept talking about that verse over and over and over. And he did something that rocked my world. Thank God for His Word. Study. Know who you are. God's will is extremely clear, and it will change your life. It will help you to endure the ups and downs of life. Let's go over to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians. In Ephesians, let's jump for chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Anybody that goes through the door at whatever period of your life, you know what you did? You went right into the body of Christ. You went right into that body of Christ. God has chosen those that believe. For the praise honor, verse 6, to the praise honor of the glory of grace wherein he hath, wait. According as he chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to him according to the good pleasure of his will, God's will. Verse 6, Ephesians 1, 6, to the praise of the glory of this his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. You have that freedom by a payment of a price. We have that redemption through his blood. Whose blood? The Lord Jesus Christ's blood. God Almighty that came down to save sinners. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of what? His will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That, the purpose statement, and the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. Well, when did you trust? After you heard the word of truth. Well, when did you hear the word of truth? You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when somebody shared that gospel with you, in whom you also after that you believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Saints, when you trust that Christ died for your sins, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 talks about that resurrected body. We're going to get a new glorified body. God's got a plan for the heavenly realm. Right now, Satan's running that heavenly realm. Not the third heaven, the second heaven. By the way, did you know there were three heavens in Scripture? I don't know if you ever saw that or not. Take a look real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, or 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 2. I knew a man in Christ, again, 2 Corinthians 12, 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but my infirmities. You know what? Paul received revelation. Take a look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Do you see the pluralness there? The S at the end. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan above me. That's what we've got to watch out for. That messenger of Satan, for all of you that believe, he is throwing darts at us. He's trying to take us out to depart from the faith. You look at Ephesians chapter 6. Read Ephesians chapter 6. Put on that whole armor of God. That armor of God is designed to protect you. But God's got a plan with the members of the body of Christ. We are going to get a new glorified body fashioned like on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are going to be his representatives in the heavenly realm. Who's going to be part of the earthly realm? Who's going to be part of God's program ministering that? The nation Israel. God's got a plan. And when you understand it, it frees you from the religious shackles that they try to put us under that law. We are saved by grace through faith. Live the faith life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, that we can read it, study it, believe it, and just let it be that simple. We thank you for our salvation, Lord, that it's nothing that we have to do with any works or deeds, and I thank you for that. Father, I just thank you that it's simply faith, trusting in the most precious, valuable commodity in the whole universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he willingly died on the cross for our sins. And Father, I just thank you for the saints here. And I pray that we are ambassadors, that we preach the word, that we get this message out, because the days are evil right now. And Father, I just thank you for, everything. This ministry, I thank you for the men that were involved with this conference. And Father, I thank you for all the saints here and those listening online or who will hear this message on audio somewhere. I just thank you for everything. Our life is yours. And we just pray to serve you. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, amen.